to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 93 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. And if you noticed by the title of the show, it is a best of show. That is right. I've been teasing it on the show that at some point in time in the future, I was going to be going on vacation. And this is the week. If you're listening to this now, it's Tuesday, but I'm actually recording this Friday night, 9 o'clock, and I've got to get up in 6 hours, 3 a.m. Saturday morning. Flight leaves at 6 a.m. Me and the wife are headed out of town. We are going to be somewhere in the Caribbean, and I can't wait to tell you guys some stories for episode number 94. Which will be on October 9th, I believe. So what I got for you tonight. So there's a lot going on. I am really, really bummed that the way the vacation and all that worked out is over the Roval weekend. Like, it really bums me out that that's getting DVR'd. Hopefully the resort will have some Wi-Fi or a TV that I might be able to con someone to put on a race if they even have that capability. But that said, man, seeing some of the stuff from practice and qualifying, we can call it we're in for a treat, or we're in for what I think a lot of us think we're in for, and that's a shit show. Not even going to beat around the bush on that. So all that said, I am really bummed I'm going to miss out on a lot of social media interaction this weekend with that. But I'm also very excited to go sit on a beach with a palm tree and some sun and all that good stuff. So I actually had planned on putting this best stuff together last night, Thursday night. Thursday night, PETM show. So if you haven't checked out their show, Tommy Joe was on. Just a fantastic show. Tommy Joe, obviously one of PETM's best guests on their show ever. And I've been on the show. I'm just kidding. Great show. Go make sure and check that out, hands down. But anyways, I was going to put this together last night. And what had happened was, well, Thursday night football, and it was like the night before vacation with work. I'm like, oh, I really want to go to the bar. And like, you guys heard me talking about it last week with the MOATF podcast. I love Golden Tee. The new Golden Tee courses came out, and I'm like, I really want to go play those. So I foregone the packing last night, putting the show together, and I'm like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow when I get home. Well, I get home from work. Well, now it is vacation Friday, and Lindsay calls me on the way home. Hey, do you want to go to the bar, have a couple drinks with everybody? They want to say goodbye before we leave. I'm like, oh, all right, fine. Two drinks. One can of Red Bull, two drinks. We'll be home by 7. Well, here it is, 9 o'clock, just finished packing, got to get up in 6 hours, and I'm just putting this mashup of a best of together. Looking very forward to waking up really tired. And I'm not asking for a sympathy because I'm going to be on a beach in less than 24 hours. But I'm not one for procrastination, and I totally procrastinated getting ready for this trip. So that said, I got some stuff planned for 94. Bob Pockers put out an article today on J-Ski regarding 7 things that NASCAR needs to focus on. And I read that, and I really like some things. And I thought 3 things were missing. And I'm excited to talk about that when I come back for episode 94. So be on the lookout for that. Got some guests lined up. Sherwin from PETM is going to come on in a couple weeks, which I'm very excited about. That's always a good fun time. And episode 100. It's getting here sooner than you think. Real quick, before I get into the mashup and a best of here, fantasy results for this week. I am really going to try and hopefully have internet connection to be able to at least publish them on the website. If not, I'm going to try and get them emailed out. If not, you're forewarned. Fantasy results for the Roval could be delayed. I apologize in advance if that happens. But according to the resort website, there is ample Wi-Fi, and I'm hoping to at least be able to get the results posted online. Obviously, won't be able to talk about them on the show. All right, enough rambling. Can't wait to get back. Episode 94 with the usual good stuff, some race talk, lucky dogs, lap down, wave around hotline, fantasy, all that good stuff. Right now, if you're still listening to this because you've heard it's the best of and know there's going to be some repeat stuff here, I appreciate it. Trucks have been on a break. You know I love trucks. I know you guys love trucks as well. So I thought, what better way to have a best of show while trucks are on a break and put together a mashup of two interviews from Brett Moffitt, who I've gotten to talk to twice this season. Love talking to Brett, love his story, love what that team has done and been able to go out there, struggled with sponsorship throughout the year, finally got everything put together up, not recent, just until the last couple weeks, knowing that they were going to be able to race the rest of the truck playoffs, which is just crazy that they've had so many wins throughout the season and still not knowing whether they're going to be able to make each truck race of the playoffs. So I thought, what better to put together for a best of mashup mid-season, so to speak, is two Brett Moffitt interviews. So without further ado, let's kick it off from episode 61 this year with Mr. Brett Moffitt. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, driver of the number 16 Assen Group Toyota for Hattori Racing, Brett Moffitt. Brett, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast.
Yeah, thank you. It's awesome to be on here, and glad to talk a little bit of racing with you tonight.
Absolutely. So, all right, real quick, how was your weekend? Did you get to do anything fun for St. Paddy's Day or take in any of the March Madness craziness?
I'm actually an anti-sports fan if it's not racing or golf. So all my friends give me a lot of crap about it, but you know, I'm not a huge basketball fan, and they're disappointed I didn't fill out any brackets with them, but had fun over St. Paddy's Day, hung out with some friends, and you know, really just looking forward to getting back to the racetrack this coming weekend in Martinsville.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so I know it's been a couple weeks since Atlanta, but talk about that win. You guys had a solid day all day, top five both stages, brought home the win. Can you talk about the early part of the day and then maybe highlight for everyone that last restart there?
Yeah, with the we're running the Toyota OEM engine versus the new NT1 engine, which a lot of the teams are running. And, you know, I feel like in qualifying, it hurts us a little bit just on pure speed. But once we get into the race, it kind of outweighs it, and it you know, it becomes more of a push at that point. So, you know, we didn't qualify as well as we thought we could have or as well as we wanted to, but the truck drove really good in Atlanta with the old surface. That's really important. And, you know, even early in the race, we got shuffled back a little bit, but we were able to rebound and, you know, just have a solid day. And we made a lot of good passes and put ourselves in contention at the end, which is what you need to do. And, you know, luckily we were in a position to be able to be aggressive on that last restart. And, you know, they left the bottom open just enough, and I was able to get there. And when I saw them racing behind us, I knew that was a good sign for us, and we were just able to drive away there for two laps.
That's awesome. Can you talk about that, the engine that you guys are running? Does that make a difference whether you're running a bigger track like Atlanta versus a smaller track like Martinsville this week? Does that impact performance in terms of how you might view that?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we're still kind of learning where the pros and cons of it are, but Mark Conquest and everybody at Joe Gibbs Engines builds a really, really good engine for us. And, you know, it seems like the NT1s have a little bit more just overall power. And when you're wide open for a lap in qualifying, it seems like it just edges us a little bit. You know, I feel like we've always felt, you know, between Atlanta and Vegas on the mile and a half, we felt that we had the speed to go up there and contest for a pole. But when qualifying rolls around, we just find ourselves struggling a little bit to get the most speed out of the truck. And but then in the race, with the throttle response of the OEM engine and just how well it drives, it kind of outweighs that power difference. So At the mile and a half, so it seemed to be, you know, really competitive on both ends for both engine options. I know at Daytona, we were definitely struggling a little bit there in the draft, and just running wide open all night long. But then at Martinsville, I think, you know, if anything, we might have a little bit of advantage because we can run more rear gear. So it'll help us off the corners and help us a little bit on restarts. And, you know, I could have different words to say after Martinsville because we haven't been there yet. But, you know, just hindsight of we're looking forward to what I think is going to happen. You know, those are my beliefs.
Sure. Awesome. All right. So you've run part-time for the most part, cup and truck over the last few years. Talk about your new alliance with Hattori Racing and how that came to fruition.
Yeah, you know, I've been talking to Hattori Racing for a little bit during the off season, and they weren't exactly sure on what direction they were going to go. So it was really a last minute decision for us to compete together. And I've actually had success in the past with Shiggy Hattori as the owner in the K&N series. So I was able to get him his first win in the K&N series and his first win in the truck series, which was, it's really special to be able to do that. And Shiggy works incredibly hard to build a very successful race team. And he's got all the right people in the place, in the right places. And just everything he does, he's so dedicated to it and to the sport. So it's really special to be paired back up with him. And he's definitely the kind of owner you want to drive for. He's laying everything on the line.
That's literally what I was just going to say. You could tell he is all in to make this team a success for you guys, and it's shown early on this year. You know, they had success last year as well, but you know, for you guys to be able to go out there so early and get a win in 2018, that's awesome, and just shows the dedication that he as an owner has.
It's really impressive what he's put into it, and it gives us and Scott Zabili, the crew chief, he's given us all the right tools to do the job, and that's what makes it successful.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's nice to see a team like that be able to go out there and compete week in, week out, you know, with the KBMs and all that out there. So that's awesome to see. So you guys have had 2 weeks off. You're going to run this weekend at Martinsville, and then you guys are off for 5 weeks.
Remind me.
So is it hard to get into a groove when you're running that kind of a sporadic start to the season? Like, I can't, I mean, you guys got to, I know you guys are itching to get in the trucks. What's the 5 weeks going to look like for you guys?
You know, it really is a difficult, you know, start to the year because, you know, everyone gets used to traveling again and living out of a hotel and just getting in the swing of things, and then it kind of shuts back down. So this year was actually a little bit better than years past, where they added Vegas in at the beginning of the season for us. So that was, we're all thankful for that. But, you know, we definitely used this 2 week break to kind of regroup and rebuild and finish some of the trucks that we're building for later on in the season. But 5 weeks is going to be a long time. So hopefully the weather's nice. I can get out and play some golf and
awesome.
And try to make it pass as quickly as possible. But I know the guys will be working hard on trying to improve where we're at even more. So, you know, they never quit and they never take a day off. And it's everyone's so dedicated to their job that, you know, we'll be able to utilize this break coming up again to try to get even better yet.
Very cool. Talk about the shop and the atmosphere with your crew, your team. Is it different from teams you've been with in the past? What's the relationship with, you know, a few weeks into a new season with a new team?
You know, luckily I've worked with probably 90% of the guys on the team in the past, whether it was at Michael Waltrip Racing or at Red Horse Racing. And, you know, me and Scott have been able to work together a few times now. And the general manager, Mike Ricci, was the crew chief for my K&N East car when I ran at Michael Waltrip Racing. So I know a lot of the people there, and I think that's what kind of helped us jive and gel so quickly and right away. And, you know, everyone there is – Mike Ricci has done a great job of just putting the right people in the right places. And I think that's what makes us so strong, you know, because we don't have the biggest shop and we don't have the most trucks, but – the way we're doing it is the right way to do it for our situation, and having the right people that are 100% dedicated to the job and are truly passionate about doing their job is what makes it really a successful program. And You know, it's just fun, you know, especially when we're having success this early. It's a lot of fun around the shop. And, you know, I know we're going to go through hard points of the year, but everyone's dedicated to do the best job they can and to make these trucks even better for us.
That's awesome. All right. So this week, heading to Martinsville, you've got one truck start there last year, sixth place finish, which is awesome. Talk about what it's like racing at Martinsville. There's going to be, you know, you're going to have your veteran truck Martinsville dominators like Johnny Sauter and Matt Crafton out there, and probably a couple cup guys, I would imagine. You know, what's it like to race there, and how do you prepare for a track like Martinsville that you haven't had a ton of experience at?
Martinsville's it's a tough place to get around. You know, it's a short track, but it drives so much different than the short tracks you race on growing up. And it's almost, you actually see a lot of road course drivers have success at Martinsville. It seems like just the way the braking zones are and the way you got to get off the brake and let it roll for a long time before picking up the throttle. So, you know, it's intense racing there. You got to stay up front to try to stay out of trouble. And that's definitely one you need to be there with the vehicle in one piece at the end. And that's going to be your best shot at going for a win. So, you know, I think if we can get up front and just stay out of trouble most of the day, we'll be there again at if there is a late restart, and we'll be there and have a shot at it. But, you know, I've ran – well, I guess we ran one K&N race, and I was fortunate enough to win that one there at Martinsville. And then, like I said, the truck race last year and a couple cup races. So
yep.
I got a little bit of experience, but it's a tough place, and it's one that you're always learning at.
All right. So you guys have an early win, basically a lock for the playoffs. Did that change the approach at all in terms of how you as a team looked towards the rest of 2018?
It definitely took a big weight off of everybody's shoulders, that's for sure. And, you know, it just gives a more positive outlook for the rest of the year. I wouldn't say we're going to really do anything a whole lot different. But it does give us the freedom to go after more stage wins, which are very crucial for the playoff points, and be a little bit, you know, risk it a little bit more in circumstances like that. And then maybe we'll get into the heart of summer, and if we don't feel like we're good enough to go win a championship, we'll have time to do a little bit of experimenting before the playoffs start when we're running three or four times a month, which, you know, but right now we just got to go out there and do what we know how to do. And, you know, kind of see where it shakes out here once we get in the summer and start racing a little more.
Sure. You know, you mentioned the playoff and stage points there. I think people caught on very quickly last year. I remember when the announcement came out, the impression I got was people were kind of fluffing it like that one playoff point. But when you've got guys like Kyle Busch and some of the cup guys going out and kind of stealing playoff points in that regard, if you got the shot to go and get those proved to be very valuable, especially in truck in the Xfinity series, because those playoff points were so far and few between earned between those series regulars.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, and I think we watched Martin Truex last year, even in the cup series. What it'll do is it gives you that safety net of if you have a bad round of the playoffs, you can still rely on those points to help get you through to the next round where you can kind of reset and go after it again. So the playoff points are really crucial of stage wins. And, you know, all that's doing is putting a little bit of insurance in your back pocket that, okay, we can go out there and have at least one bad race in the first round and still should be good to go and still in the playoffs and in the title hunt.
Absolutely. Well, Brett, I don't want to take up too much of your time. You want to hit everybody with your sponsors, all that, and tell everyone where they can follow you.
Yeah, as Shiggy, like I said, man, he works hard, and he's over in Japan right now trying to fill out the sponsor schedule. But so far, you know, Eisen Group and Advix AW has been a huge supporter of the program, I know, over the years, even back to the K&N days. So hats off to them and just everyone at Toyota Family for giving us the right tools to get the job done. And you know, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, it's @Brett_Moffitt. And on Instagram, it's @BrettMoffittRacing. So make sure to follow along, and I'll try to give you guys the most updates I can.
Awesome. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Brett Moffitt, driver of the number 16 Aston Group Toyota for Hattori Racing. Brett, thanks for coming on Lap Traffic Podcast. Good luck this weekend in Martinsville.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Thanks, man. All right. Well, that was Brett Moffitt from way early in the year, back in March. So much fun. All right. I got another one lined up from Brett. But before I do, you know it. I got a social media out. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you're subscribing, downloading. Don't forget about the giveaway at 3,500 followers on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC, giving away a Lap Traffic t-shirt and a signed Richard Childress 124 diecast. So make sure you're following and telling your friends. All right, short and no shout-outs, nothing like that. Time to get into the second interview from this year with Brett Moffitt. Joining me on the line, driver of the number 16 Toyota for Hattori Racing, making his second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast and winner of the Overton's 225 at Chicago Speedway, Mr. Brett Moffitt. Brett, welcome back to the show. How's it going, man?
It's been good, man. It's good to be back. It's obviously been a really good past month for us at Hattori Racing, and it's been a lot of fun winning races and running up front.
That's awesome. All right, before we get into the nuts and bolts, how was your 4th of July? Did you get to do anything fun?
Yeah, it was great. You know, we got to celebrate the Chicago win and America's birthday, Independence Day, all in one. So,
hell yeah, man.
it was super fun back here. All my friends were in town and we had a good time. So it was fun celebrating all that in one and ready to move on to Kentucky coming up here.
Excellent. Absolutely. All right. So I'm really excited to have you on tonight. We talked earlier in the season, shortly after your win in Atlanta, and I just feel like so much has happened for you and your team since that time. In my eyes, you guys are the Cinderella story of the truck series this year. You get Hattori Racing, their first victory at Atlanta. You've been to victory lane a total of three times, twice in the last three races, a lock for the playoffs, yet plagued by a lack of sponsorship and almost not sure if you were going to make it to Chicago, and yet you get the checkered flag there. Do you yourself and the team kind of feel like the Cinderella story?
No, I don't really think we feel like that. You know, we have confidence in each other. So whether it's me having confidence in Scott Zappelli or the crew guys and the mechanic, all of us believe in each other, and we've won three races, but we feel like we should have won more by now.
Absolutely.
Because there were several races, Gateway, Las Vegas, I can't even think, Charlotte, we had a good truck, but there was those two for sure, Gateway and Las Vegas, we feel like we should have won.
Yeah.
And we didn't. And so that was heartbreak for us. So to go to Chicago and run well, and you know, for a while it was looking like we were going to finish second, and everything worked out and we got one back. So, you know, I feel like we should have the most wins on the season right now, but we don't. So we got a chip on our shoulder and we're going to keep fighting and we're going to try to win more races and we're not going to let up.
I love that, man. That's so cool. So before we get to Chicago, because I'm excited to talk about that, I just want to let you know, I went on a rant a couple weeks ago on the show just saying how crazy it was that a winning truck, lock in the playoffs, contender, like true contender for the championship, was having sponsor issues. And I sat back and thought about it, and I really, you know, it's not crazy. Majority of teams have this type of an issue. But I think what's caught everyone off guard is we're not used to seeing a multiple win trucker car have these issues. How are things looking for the rest of the season?
Yeah, certainly. You know, it's been an emotional roller coaster ride, and it's been as hard mentally as anything I've done. You know, we're such a great race team, and we all work so well together, and we're all so passionate. But we have this constant fight of getting funding for the rest of the year and for the next week. And we, like you said, we didn't know if we were going to Chicago or not. And Freight Auctions stepped up and made that happen. So it's been very emotional. But as far as moving forward, we actually just announced yesterday that, or even today, I guess, that iRacing was going to be on the truck at Eldora. And that was a huge step in the right direction. So before that, we had Eldora, Bristol, and Homestead open. And right now, it's looking like we just need to find a sponsorship for Bristol. So that's moving the ball a long way down the court. Obviously, it's still a big task because Bristol's going to be here before we know it.
Sure.
But everything's been looking great, and the more success we have, the more things are looking up.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations on that. That's awesome news. And, you know, just from your perspective, like you said, you know, it's been a mental challenge. You just want to get in the truck and drive as hard as you can for the team and the fans out there. And knowing that that piece of the puzzle is put into place has got to be a good stress reliever for you to know that you don't have to worry about that and just go get in the truck and do what you do.
Certainly, you know, there's still a little bit I need to worry about. Like I said, Bristol's still open. Sure. We need to figure that out. But like you said, the driving part is what I do. It's what I love. It's the easy part for me. Right. And I don't say that as in it's easy to do.
Sure.
But I say that as in that's what I know and that's what I love and that's what I've done since the time I was 11 years old. The finding the sponsorship and everything else that goes along with the business side, that is the struggle, and that currently is the hardest part. So working through that and getting some of that resolved is definitely a weight lifted off my shoulders.
That's awesome, man. All right, let's talk about Chicago. So that last stage, you and John Hunter flip-flopped the lead a few times. Can you take us through that last restart and the end of the race there?
Oh, that was fun.
It was fun to watch.
When you get two trucks like that, not only that, it's two small trucks battling it out for a win amongst Kyle Busch Motorsports and GMS, and we kind of took it to them that night. And me and John Hunter actually talked the following day, and we were both just kind of in shock that we were able to be that competitive against such big mega teams in the truck series. And we have an appreciation for each other's talent, and it was a lot of fun racing with him and swapping the lead and just the way the whole race worked out. You know, obviously he was bummed with the end result, but it was so much fun getting a race and begin the draft and start choosing other lines than each other. And we really had to use the whole racetrack, and that's what it's all about. And that's what makes racing fun.
Absolutely. You know, you guys kind of pulled away, like you said. You know, you guys were out there and putting on a show, two smaller teams. And like you just said, you know, you guys used the whole racetrack. You know, it wasn't, no one was scared out there. You guys were racing for the win against each other in a good competitive nature. And it showed on the TV screen, because that was a lot of fun to watch.
Yes, certainly. You know, it was, he has one goal when he goes these races. He's not racing for points or for a championship, and that's to win the race.
Yep.
So he gets to have a little more risk involved with his racing. And about five to go is when I said, okay, if I knock the right side off this truck, that's just going to be a problem that I have to have.
Right.
And, you know, so that was when I kind of committed to going fully up to the high line. And whatever happened at that point. And, you know, luckily we were able to put on a good show and we were able to beat him back to the start finish. And I know he had some issues, which is a bummer for him. But
sure.
At the same time, we've lost races like that, and I'll take a win any way we can get.
Absolutely. No, that was a lot of fun. Win number three, which is awesome. So before we get into the next couple weeks, big picture, three wins. Playoff points are accumulating for you, which when you reset, man, you're going to be right up there with the likes of Johnny Sauter and all that. So that's got to be a really good feeling.
Yeah, certainly. You know, the playoff points, I think Martin Truex Jr. last year showed them to be so crucial. So the more playoff points we can collect here in the regular season, which is coming to an end sooner than we thought it would.
Five races.
Time moves fast when we're racing.
Yep.
And I think our goal was to go out there, go for broke every week, try to get as many playoff points as we can, whether that means winning stages or winning races, and pad ourselves so that, I mean, that first round in the chase, that is a strange round for the truck series with a road course and a super speedway. And Las Vegas is only 1.5 miles. So
yep.
If we can have a cushion going in there to guarantee us in round two or all but guarantee us, that would be a huge weight off our shoulders. So we're going to try to get as many playoff points as we can at this point in time.
Absolutely. And you're coming up a couple weeks to Michigan, which you're familiar with Victory Lane there. So that's got to be a good feeling, too.
Certainly. And that was with the same crew chief, Scott Zipidelli. So I think we're going to bring that same setup back out, and hopefully at the end of the day, we have the same result. You know, I think it's going to be a little bit different with the NT1 engine versus our Joe Gibbs Racing engine, but you know, you never know what's going to happen. And our trucks just drive really, really good. And Scott makes my job a hell of a lot easier, and hopefully we can run in the draft all day and go back to victory lane at Michigan.
Awesome. All right. So this week, Thursday night racing at Kentucky, you got a couple starts there. What are you looking forward to or not looking forward to heading into the mile and a half of Kentucky this week?
You know, certainly our looking forward to would be our mile and a half program, which has been really, really strong this year. I feel like our mile and a half program has been great all year. Our short track program just recently became great to where we can win races from Iowa and Gateway. So, you know, we can go back on past notes for Kentucky. And I was fortunate enough to run also Kentucky in 2016 for Scott Zipidelli. So we had a really good track that night, ended up blowing a motor. And I think that's all what we had to look forward to. As far as negatives, it is a newer repaved track, which tends to lead to more one lane racing.
Yep.
So it makes it a little bit tougher to pass and makes track position a little more important. So hopefully we can qualify well, stay up front, and just have the speed in our truck that we need.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to that. I don't mind weeknight racing. I don't know. I love it. So I'm looking forward to dialing in on Thursday night. And then next week, Wednesday night, the Dirt Derby at Eldora. You just mentioned iRacing coming on board. Not a lot of dirt experience, as I was doing a little digging and prepping for the interview here. How exciting is it to go race at a track like Eldora, and how do you get ready for something like that?
Yeah, so I raced dirt modifieds when I was about 14 years old and kind of been racing them on and off ever since. But those are dirt cars that are made for dirt tracks.
Right.
And now we're talking about taking a 3,600-pound stock car or truck and putting it on a dirt track, which it is not built for at all. So it's going to be a big learning experience for me. And, you know, luckily iRacing partnered with us, and that's a great tool to get some experience ahead of time. But until I get there for the first time in real life, it's going to be an eye-opening experience. I'm going to have to learn every practice and learn as the race goes on and rely on what people have told me in the past about it to try to get that experience ahead of time. So
absolutely,
it's going to be interesting. The best case scenario is we go win Kentucky. And that takes a little bit of pressure off for Eldora.
Absolutely.
But we never know what's going to happen at Eldora. So it'll be a fun night for sure.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and you mentioned just the uniqueness there, you know, even qualifying and all that, you know, they go true dirt style, you know, heat races and all that good stuff there. So that's
exactly
going to be fun.
There are a lot of dirt racers there, and it's going to be hard just to make the race, let alone win it. So hopefully we can keep the nose clean all night, qualify well, run a good heat race, and end up in victory lane.
Awesome. Brett, tell everyone where they can follow you and give your sponsors a quick shout out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously on Twitter, at Brett_Moffitt, and then on Instagram, at Brett Moffitt Racing, which honestly I tend to do more on Instagram and trying to show everybody what's going on behind the scenes than I do on Twitter, which is maybe a fault of mine, but it's just what I like better. So make sure to follow on there. And, you know, everyone's been on our bandwagon lately of getting new sponsors and getting us to the racetrack. And I can't thank everyone on social media enough for that and everyone's push and connecting us with new companies. But obviously we've had ISIN and now iRacing's on board, and Freight Options made Chicago happen. And it's just been a whole whirlwind this year. And I can't thank everyone enough for the support and making that happen.
That's awesome. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Brett Moffitt, driver of the number 16 Toyota for Hattori Racing. Thanks for coming back on the show. Brett, good luck this Thursday at Kentucky and the rest of the season, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time and look forward to talking to you again and hopefully going to victory lane this week.
Awesome, man. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. That was the second interview from Brett this year. What cool thing was with Brett was I was able to be in victory lane for his Michigan win, standing there basically at the start finish line in pit road, seeing him come off turn four and passing Johnny Sauter for the win there. That was so cool. You know, when you get to talk to these guys every once in a while, so fortunate that some of these guys take time to come on the show. Not that I got anything against Johnny Sauter by any means, but developed a relationship with Brett, and being able to talk to him a couple times, it was just that much more special to be at a track, see someone win that you've developed a relationship with, which is really cool. Can't wait to talk to him again, and hopefully it's right after Homestead with maybe him celebrating a championship. Who knows? All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 93, Best Of. Make sure you guys are checking out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow on Twitter at LapTrafficPC. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Don't forget about the giveaway at 3,500 followers. There's a link on the website under the fantasy page, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. There's a survey there. If you're playing in the fantasy league or you want to play next year, go take the survey. Let me know what you think about the current format and what you guys would like to change. I can't wait to be back with you guys next week. Tell you some stories from the vacay. Can't wait to talk about the Roval, the playoffs, silly season. It's almost the end of the year. I can't believe it. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya.